B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady takes the step. Kansas City comes with five. A throw down the middle off the hands of Myers. Incomplete. The rookie unable to make the catch at the Kansas City 20.
Guess that's on the quarterback too, right? Yeah, not. How many times is that going to happen? Sanu last week. This kid this week. It's happened before.
Tom takes the shotgun snap against a four-man rush. He's under pressure again. He moves up. He's hit. He stays alive. And Brady carries it to the right. Throws it to the right. Incomplete for James White.
Anybody else
the offensive
want to play?
Line cannot protect Tom Brady in this game against a four-man rush in this case.
Anybody else want to play but Brady? Anybody else want to play but Brady, Edelman, and White?
No, because Brady was just so good in that first half.
Pat, the pick was bad.
Oh, my God.
Pick was totally
not even
fault.
Just the pick. He had a bunch of bad throws in that first half.
I'd say a bunch.
Got lucky on the flea flicker.
Oh, he did.
On a flea flicker, yeah.
Go back and watch. He shorted a bunch of throws in that first half. That elbow's an issue for him. Whatever he's got going on with that elbow, he can tell you he's fine. There's nothing wrong, yeah. But you don't show up to the podium with that wrap on that elbow after the game yesterday if it's nothing and it's not impacting the way you play. Right?
Oh, it's just ice, yeah.
Oh, because we see that so often with him.
Oh, you see pitchers, he's packing an ice.
Well, he's got something going on.
Right.
Oh, he even said, yeah, it's going to show up in the injury report because he's injured.
You see
he's
him
dealing with an injury.
You see him in some of the shots from practice last week and they're just doing those drills and they're showing him just, he's doing this. It's stuff you don't see him do. You know, get the elbow loose and put my hand in and out. But you tell, okay, just try to get the elbow loose. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Josh in Haverhill has been hanging on for a very long time. Thank you, Josh. What do you got?
Hey, Beatles, oh, Hardy, Louthy. I'm here to tell you guys, I hate to say it, but this team's not winning the Super Bowl this year. The offense sucks and blows. I mean, I hate to say it. You know, they just can't move the ball and They're going to be doomed against good teams. They can't win against good teams.
I don't blame you for feeling that way. That's the scoreboard right now.
All right.
Facts. Facts, facts, facts.
Why did he break that to us? Said he hated to do it.
Hated to
Why
do it.
Why do it?
Like, he did it, though.
Open up that can.
He did it.
How do you feel with that can open now? You took that one hard, huh?
Did it. He did it. He just gave it to us straight. Ripped off the Band-Aid.
No spoonful of sugar with that one.
No Super Bowl.
Make the medicine go down?
No Super Bowl for you.
He said they're not winning it.
Yeah.
Am I making it there? But they're not winning it.
You have a problem with them getting booed at halftime?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I don't like it.
I expected it.
And listen, I'm...
Zoe said they deserve it.
You know, do you have a right
I said,
to?
Get
you have,
ready
of course
for the
you
Bluebirds.
You pay for the ticket. Do whatever you want there.
It just had a feel where that was heading and the way they were playing. And yeah, it's 20,
this is the same boo conversation 20. We end up having all the time.
Like, come on.
I've never booed right anyone. Boo! Boo! Yeah, a bunch of grown people out there booing. But are they booing the team? Are they booing the organization? Are they booing the six Super Bowls? Or are they booing the fact
situation.
That they look like crap in the second quarter and didn't?
Get your crap together.
And,
that's what that is.
And fans never like it, especially in the stadium, when they see time on the clock and it's expiring and you, quote unquote, give up. You know what? We're not going to push one downfield. We're not going to Hail Mary this. They're booing that. Look, it sucks. It's cold. They look like crap. Yet they allowed how many unanswered points in that run after going up the first seven? How many did they score in a row after 20, that?
23.
Yeah.
23-7.
Look, what are you supposed... As Paulie Paul said last night, I didn't expect... Because he and I were at odds on this. He's like, I don't expect to have the Miami Heat good job, good effort, kid. I'm like, well, what do you want? Just silence? Just not voice any emotion, frustration?
Long
in the
day,
moment?
A lot of drinking, people are upset.
Whatever.
Kind of just meandering around.
You know what? They did play like absolute dog vomit in that second quarter, and I would have liked to have seen him maybe push the ball, try one more play before the half instead of just tuck and tail and going into the locker room. And, yeah, the offense can't get anything going, and, wow, the running game looks like crap against the 30th-rated rush defense in the National Football League. But you know what? Let's give him a nice warm round of applause because six Super Bowls. Well, come on.
Our fans like Atlanta, where you need that noise meter on the board to cheer. I think when you got going in the second half, they got after. A lot of people are saying,
okay, they took over the ball at what, like they're 25? Right? So they would have had to have gone either 75 for a touchdown or had to have gotten into field goal range, which may have been limited by Nick Folk's injury coming back off the appendectomy. Don't forget, they were at the 27 of Kansas City. They elected to go for it on fourth down instead of making a 40-plus yard kick. That might be because of Nick Folk. Let's assume it is for the moment. So at 54 seconds is when they snapped the ball on first down. They had 54 seconds, less than a minute.
Yeah.
Completion to Edelman for 5 yards. Do you want them to waste one of those timeouts there?
No.
They were then at
the... Do you remember that play, though?
It was a blitz. He had to throw hot.
He blitzed and he had to throw hot. Zoe mentioned it on the broadcast. Yeah. It was blitz a smart play because it only got 5 yards because he had to throw it short because they blitzed.
They also had the penalty there. So I forgot about the penalty after the return. Mm-hmm. So that put them out to the 41. So it was the 36 they started. 36, and then they had a 5 yard completion. They
I blitzed. Said, okay, now you got to take a shot here. You need to push it downfield.
So would you have called a timeout there at the 41?
No.
What are you laughing at?
Tom.
Oh. Did I miss something?
No, Tom's got his own show going on.
G-Chat.
So, you take a timeout there after first down?
No. Because you just got blitz and hit and he had to throw hot again.
They're not going to call the timeout there. You got a long way to go before you're going to need those to stop the clock. If you're assuming you need one to stop the clock before a kick.
You save it.
You've got to save at least one of them.
Because you allow yourself to have the ability to throw the ball in the middle of the field.
I'm just giving you the reasoning. It's easy to say after the fact, you had a minute and two timeouts, you didn't do anything with it. And then on the next play, he got sacked and he had pressure again, much like he did on first down. And when that sack happened, I looked at Jim and I go, well, that's it. This is crap. Go to the locker room. This is nonsense.
Yeah, they gave it an effort, and then that was it.
Yeah, you got nothing here. You're going to now move that ball in the remaining 34 seconds
right.
and line yourself up for a kick the way that day was going?
Right.
I don't think it's a great second guess. Gauge what the hell's going on here and say, screw this.
But what's going on down this road?
They were booing the
crowd reaction at that moment. You're like, okay, so you say, this is crap. What if in unison 65,000 people said, this is crap? That is the verbal version of the boo.
Sure, yeah.
So you said it.
I think it was about the second quarter and the first half. Yes, of course.
Yes. All right.
I wouldn't have a problem.
The driver's dead.
You still think it's wrong for the people who booed them?
I just don't like it. I don't think it's necessarily wrong or right. I just don't appreciate the booing.
I don't boo either, but they just had a
home winning streak that was snapped. They hadn't lost a game since 2017 at home.
Yeah.
If you're a Patriots fan, you go to Patriots games, you've been treated pretty damn good over the years.
You're an elitist then.
Yeah,
Patriots fans are elitist.
You're assuming it's all the same people at all the same games. You got a ton of people in that stadium last night.
They cheered for your second
who
half.
Who bought those tickets at a school auction or bought them off somebody and probably spent a mortgage payment to go to that game last night. And they dropped $1,500. Hell, in some cases, $1,800.
$900 per ticket,
like
I hear.
Someone's brother, I heard.
Is the going rate.
Just spent on a Dolphins game because he mistakenly...
No, Bills game.
Because he mistakenly thought that was going to be Tom Brady's last regular season game. You know, you got people out there, they're pissy. I'm not going to boo them either. And of course they don't deserve it.
I don't feel this strongly about it, so I don't know why you're yelling at me.
You just spent 3 minutes defending
why I'm just talking about that specific second guess.
Well, yes.
The specific end of half second guess that I've heard a lot of today. I don't love it.
And you admitted turning to Jim and saying, that's crap. Well, that's what 65,000 people did. Probably half of them only.
I should start yelling out the booth booing for you the way the guys in Abington do. Boo! Boo! Ballot! Belichick, learn football. I'm going
to
do that.
You did the equivalent of a boo to Jim when you said, this is crap.
No, the drive was. The drive was.
Yeah,
they tried it, and they couldn't,
Well, yeah, the right call was to wrap it up, get to the locker room.
You don't think that? You don't think that those boos were based on the last 4 or 5 weeks of this offense?
Yes. See, I bet.
I think that's
all of it, whatever it is. There's 30,000 people. I'll say half the people there were expressing the same sentiment, but you can't do it in unison and get everybody together to start chanting, this is crap. So instead, they boo. Get over it. They can handle it.
Just got 28
you got booed. You got booed for 8 seconds walking into the locker room after a crappy quarter of football.
I don't know who you're arguing with here.
You. You said you didn't like it. You said, no, that's wrong. I don't agree
you
with
you asked
that.
Me, did you like it? No, I don't like it.
I didn't ask you.
I did.
Oh, sorry. So did. My mistake. Zoe asked. How do you like it? I don't like it.
Zoe liked it.
I wouldn't have done
Zoe liked it. He said they deserved it.
Played
Zoe's call at the end of the last play of the second quarter. He said it. Said it on the broadcast.
Yeah, I felt. Played on the other side.
Play it now!
We'll play it next.
All right,
Thanks.
Maybelline!
Okay.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Shoulder high snap. Brady backs up again. Under rush. Moves up. Throws on the move. Finds James White underneath. And then he's hammered down by Breland. He takes a stick by the Kansas City corner. And that's going to be the final punctuation to this opening half.
Deservedly so.
We'll check that. It's delivered by the crowd at Gillette. Where the Chiefs have taken it to the Pats after New England scored first.
Bob Soucy on the call yesterday, also the author of a tweet 4 minutes ago to at Hardy98.5, which says, lighten up, Francis.
Francis from Stripe, the hothead. Lighten up, Francis.
Sorry, I just replied to him.
What'd you say? Oh, what?
No, that's taking it to
the season.
I'm taking it to a new place.
What'd
you
say?
You're sure you want to start bleep with me, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
What am I supposed to lighten up for?
Shut up,
Francis. I don't know. You sort of snapped on me for something. I wasn't arguing strongly.
I tell you who needs to lighten up. The people tisking the booze at the end of the second quarter last
night. I even made it a point
to
say you pay for a ticket. You have a right to do whatever you want.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks,
man. I appreciate that. They can handle it.
Yeah, they're big boys.
The team can handle it.
I didn't say they couldn't handle it. I didn't say that they were going to be depressed or they were going to be spiraling mentally today.
This is not disrespect. This doesn't mean you hate Belichick, you hate the team, you hate the organization, you hate Brady or anybody. This gives the coach the ability to go into halftime and say, you guys like getting your ass food? Like it? They came out, fixed some things, made some adjustments, played hard. They don't quit. Team's fine. Not fine all around.
I don't know that they're fine.
No. That's like not like it's not catastrophic.
Zoe seems a little bit offended today by those who are not believing in their chances.
I think anything's possible.
Sure, but is it likely?
I could see Tennessee or Pittsburgh squeaking in and playing the Chiefs for the AFC title. Who knows? I could see you playing Tennessee here. I could see you going on the road again to Baltimore. Anything could happen. Anything.
I don't think, Beto, you don't think they can win in Baltimore.
This thing's wide-ass
open. Let me ask you, do you think they can win in Baltimore?
No.
Okay, so that's the difference.
Yeah. I hate when you press the mic and I hate
Jimmy also thinks they won't win in Baltimore.
Good.
He's not even on a phone, and he's commenting.
But, Jim, I'm at the point now where what if Kansas City were to come back? Is that a guaranteed win?
No, it's not a guaranteed
win.
That's
how I look at it
now.
But
it's not like, oh, they're losing this game either.
Last year, you knew there were two things. It was Kansas City and you. That was it. Kansas City and you.
That game yesterday didn't tell me there's no chance that you don't beat this team.
The field is deep.
Oh, I'd agree with that, of course. I just think that a first playoff game at home is usually a win, and we feel pretty damn good about it. I'm not feeling pretty damn good about that this year.
Okay. Here's what I'm gonna say this. Of the potential teams that could get in, I would not have a problem seeing Josh Allen, whoever's quarterbacking Pittsburgh, or let's go Tennessee. So throw Tanny on there.
Yeah, so the bottom.
Those are all three winnable games.
So the three teams that have beaten you have a problem with facing.
Not facing them, but I'm confident you could roll those three teams.
Who would you rather? Here's the point, though. You've got a problem with more than just the teams that have rolled you. I mean, do you necessarily... Buffalo was not
an easy game for this team.
I'm saying, so wild card weekend. Say Kansas City's playing Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Does Pittsburgh have a shot to go in there and slow them down on offense? Say Buffalo plays the Texans and beats them.
I don't know.
Wild card weekend.
Pittsburgh is doing what they're doing right now.
Bring on Buffalo in the second round. Like, that's what I'm saying from those teams. Not that, of course, you'll match up better against them, but those three teams could give trouble to the bottom. Any of those three that get in could give trouble to the bottom two, is all I'm saying. That's all. Meaning, there's no definitive, divisional round matchup. Like, we know this team's going there and that one's going there. We know Baltimore's good. Best
the
team
way
is.
The Patriots have struggled offensively, how do you feel about the Buffalo game coming up in 2 weeks?
I feel fine. Based on their quarter. I watched that kid try and function yesterday. He just doesn't see the field well. I know he's had a good stretch of games, but it's just so long and deliberate and just lopey.
You basically called me a loser for worrying about Buffalo last
for
week.
In the Ravens versus Buffalo argument.
Yeah, you said if you're worried about Buffalo, you don't think this team can go very far.
If you're worried about them catching you in, yeah, and guess what? Now I'm on the side.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You've crossed over to that side now.
Yeah, and so here's the thing, too, but I still would have obviously preferred Buffalo win yesterday before the Kansas City game was played out.
Yeah.
I would just say that for the first time in a really long time, Buffalo's coming to town in less than 2 weeks. And for the first time in, like, forever, it wouldn't be a stunner if Buffalo won the game.
Nope.
And I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Patriots will win that game. They're at home. They will beat Buffalo. They're a better team than Buffalo. But they've got a good defense. They gave them problems up there. And if Buffalo were to come in here and pull one out, it would suck, but it wouldn't be an absolute stunner. You wouldn't be like, how the hell did that happen? Buffalo doesn't win here.
I would.
I'm missing things left and right here today.
Because you're talking about pulling out. Whatever. It just struck me as funny.
We let it go.
It struck me as funny.
Like, I've done a good job of that stuff, that in the little things here and there, like, let them go, and then we can have fun with them later. But I could just go,
say that next time.
Beetle, I think they went out. I think they take care of business in Cincinnati.
They should. Win out.
And I think they take care of the last two home games.
Sit Sanu this week.
Right?
Sit Sanu.
But
if you ask
if it's a possibility, yes. I don't think it's possible that they lose to Cincinnati next week.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they'll lose to
Miami in week 17 either. I don't think that's going to happen.
Sanu, you got two weeks to get ready for Buffalo.
I don't think either one of those things are real possibilities.
Sanu's not right.
Buffalo? Yeah. And my default on all this hasn't changed all that much. You know, it's the whole, like, all right, you know, predicting the demise of Patriots, Brady, the whole dynasty thing. No, out of that business for 5 years. So I'm not saying it's all over. And like that caller who had to break the bad news to us that they weren't winning the Super Bowl. No, the default still remains the same. They always find a way to get it done. And I think they'll figure out a way to win these last three games. And once you're into the playoffs, okay, then we'll see what happens. But there are more questions and there's more reason to think about things than there have been in the past, even last year.
That's the thing. Remember the end of last year? How nobody wanted to credit them for the two wins they pulled off at the end. This is going to be three difficult weeks for the team because everybody expects you to beat Cincinnati. You got to go on the road. Take care of business, beat Cincinnati. Then I think you put a lot into Buffalo, and you should roll Miami at home at the end. But still, you got to rip three off in a row. They got no credit for the way they finished the year at the end of last year. Remember that. Internally, they felt they started to find some identity. But we didn't look at it and say, oh, man, finish strong. They're rolling now, finishing off those divisional teams that sucked.
The problem is when you start really dissecting and thinking about what the upside is, what's the ceiling for the offense. Last year, they needed to turn things around after the back-to-back losses to the Steelers in Miami. But you knew, just based on personnel, they had the ability for a much higher ceiling, and they could play better than that, and they did. What's the ceiling this year? The defense goes out and plays lights out. Even good teams, they're not going to put up more than 13, 14 points. What's your offense going to do at their best, their absolute best? Is that going to be enough? That's where the questions and the doubt creeps in. Didn't have that last year. Yeah, you had more of an upside. Higher ceiling. I don't know how high the ceiling goes right now.
9 feet right here.
Hardy has headlines. He'll get you caught up.
It's more than that.
One more segment of your calls. And then on to the takeaways we go.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We do have some breaking news of the most unfortunate kind today, as Boston College has just put out a statement from the university that says, "Today, heaven received our angel, Peter Frates, a husband to Julie, a father to Lucy, a son to John and Nancy, a brother to Andrew and Jennifer. Pete passed away surrounded by his loving family, peacefully at age 34, after a heroic battle with ALS." Breaking news, Pete Frates has passed away. He is the former Boston College baseball player who had ALS. He's a household name now in Boston and abroad after the Ice Bucket Challenge, and a tremendous loss for Boston and for everyone.
It's a hell of a family. Got to know him a little bit. I mean, and knew Julie a little bit, the wife, from doing the Pints for Pete, but his brother Andrew that organized it was dealing with Pete a ton, and it was fun being at games and having this guy Pete text me, him and his brother, middle of games. I'd take it, and it's just like, look at this. This guy's just such a fighter. The family, you know the story. They're just such champions, and what they've been able to do, the awareness, the amount of money they've raised for this awful, awful disease. But, I mean, it's just – it's sad. It's sad. But, everybody around here loved Pete, would do anything for Pete. You knew the story, but man, boy, did his brother pound the pavement for him and do everything he can to get the awareness out there to help raise money for him to be at home. That was so big for the family, and talking to Andrew through it, and the in and out of the hospital, and you have no clue the amount of stuff they had to deal with, on the side, the medical costs and just the transports. And it's just, God bless this guy.
According to this statement, it's very nicely written. It says, "Pete was an inspiration to so many people around the world who drew strength from his courage and resiliency, a natural-born leader, and the ultimate teammate. Pete was a role model for all, especially young athletes who looked up to him for his bravery and unwavering positive spirit in the face of adversity. He was a noble fighter who inspired us all to use our talents and strengths in the service of others. Remarkably, Pete never complained about his illness.
Ever.
Instead, he saw it as an opportunity to give hope to other patients and their families. In his lifetime, he was determined to change the trajectory of a disease that had no treatment or cure. As a result, through his determination, along with his faithful supporters, Team Freight Train, he championed the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. In August of 2014, the historic movement pioneered social media fundraising and garnered donations globally that resulted in better access to ALS care, genetic discoveries, treatments, and someday a cure. He was a beacon of hope for all. They are asking for privacy for the family at this time as they mourn his loss, and they are asking for those who want to extend an expression of sympathy to please consider making a donation to the Peter Frates Family Foundation and continue the fundraising zone that his entire family has taken up. The address is 21 Landers Drive, Beverly, Mass. Or you can just go to PeteFrates.com/donate. That's probably the easiest and fastest way to do it, is PeteFrates.com/donate. And his foundation has obviously done so much already, but there's so much more to be done. And so it helps ALS patients in their desire to stay at home with the people that love them and want to take care of them. And so that's what their foundation has been able to do, is to help people pay for the cost of medical care while they deal with this terrible disease. So go to PeteFrates.com/donate. But a tremendous loss today with the passing of Pete Frates at the age of 34. How do you go back to doing anything else after that?
That's what we do.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's what, he'd watch the game and bitch, and he'd be bitching about the offense too.
That's what he did.
He'd be bitching about the refs today.
Right.
I would. Seriously. I mean, he and his brother would text me during games, like, "Middleton, you got to be effing kidding me with this call."
Yeah. Right. Talk a lot of smack.
Yeah.
Talked a lot of trash.
That sucker.
Yes.
I blame his brother.
Distinctly yeah. Boston. Yeah.
Right. Typical. Yeah.
$220 million, the ice bucket challenge raised for ALS research.
Unreal.
$220 million.
I mean, he even had the ability to have not fun with it, but there was that one report where Pete was in trouble health-wise, and someone thought this day came, and Pete's, nope, I'm still here. And yeah, put it out there on Twitter. Yeah, he's got a good spirit, great spirit. The biggest thing out of that, never complain once. Yeah, not a single peep. That's amazing.
Yep, premature. Yeah, the reports of his passing were, what, 27? That was like 2 years ago.
I remember.
2017, that happened. He's like, nope.
We still talked here. About it. I remember talking about it.
Still here. Didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, today, that news has become all too real. And, again, go to PeteFrades.com/donate. That would be the easiest way for you to go ahead and make a donation if you haven't already. I know so many people have. But very sad news today. Our thoughts go out to the Frades family. I know that, Zoe, you know them a little bit. They've reached out here and there when things have been going on that you've been involved in, and we've promoted.
Andrew's been in all the time. He's gone on with Toucher and Rich, especially at the BC baseball thing, and Fred Stein's there. But, again, the Pites for Pete's was a fun event to do every year. I've done it for 3 years. And just the amount of people that show up, you know, wherever they had this thing or, you know, wherever Pete was. I remember seeing Pete at games, too. It was always good to see him. Sad day.
All right. Today's takeaways are coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand. Stay tuned for that.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Paging Scott Zolak back to the studio. Zo to the studio. Where'd he go? Hey, how you doing? No, we're just doing a show. Waiting on you. Have at it. Today's takeaways.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Hey, the holidays are coming. It's not too late to get to Awaken 180 Weight Loss right now. It's a great gift to give. And if you are in town, you can go check them out at one of their great locations or do the virtual program online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Jim is shaking his head at you. I'm guessing there's new copy or something there in front of you. Is there? Let's check it. It's Monday.
Okay. Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're setting up your consultation to start losing weight and getting healthy, it will be a gift to you. And your loved ones will be thankful. Awaken180weightloss.com.
All right. A few things to get to here.
Double whammy there.
In the takeaways, let's start with, you want to start with a phone call today?
The Foxborough one? I'd love one.
Yes. Derek in Foxborough. Let's go to Derek in Foxborough on the refs last night. Derek.
Yeah, the officiating was garbage. It's been garbage for many years now. I mean, Hardy knows this better than anybody. I mean, how many games have they screwed his Lions out of over the years? So it's a disaster. But I don't think that's why they lost, because you look at that Gilmore play. It reminded me of the play from the AFC title game against Jacksonville when Miles Jack forced a fumble and was going to run it back for a touchdown, but they blew that dead. So, you know, they benefited from that in that game. And on the Nikhil Harry play, I mean, they still had first and goal from the three. I mean, you've got to be able to punch that in. I mean, there's no excuse. First and goal from the three, not getting a touchdown.
Derek, I'm trying to think. What's the referee's name from last night? Do you know it?
Humphrey Bogarts or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, Jerome Bogarts. Yeah, that's right.
Humphrey Bogarts.
I like right at the end there, before you ask the question, you still got to get in touchdown.
Humphrey Bogarts.
Jim, give me the end right there, right before Hardy asked him the question, like who the ref was last night. Like right at the end there.
Humphrey Bogarts.
Is he just,
I don't know, Humphrey Bogart or something?
That's old.
You're not getting a touchdown.
Derek, what? I'm trying to.
Touchdown. Touchdown.
Humphrey Bogart. Oh, we had some conversations today about the Christmas song.
Yes.
And, of course, Nat King Cole and his daughter, Natalie Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
this happened.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy the Intern. Who sings this? Go, quickly. It's amazing. That's my point. Go ahead.
That's tough.
That's a hard one.
That's a tough one.
Nat King freaking Cole. My 10-year-old probably knows this.
I doubt it.
I listen.
Highly doubt it.
I'll bet you $1,000.
No,
how about that?
Taking that bet.
All right.
Yeah.
He was critical of some of the coaching moves yesterday.
Who's that?
Nat King Cole?
His son.
Oh, Brody?
Booth, yeah.
Shut up.
I'm sorry?
He didn't go to bed till like 11, 11:30.
Nat King Cole? Yeah, what did he have, a tweet? He was on TikTok.
How did he do that? His daughter do it?
Wait, Nat. She's no longer with us either.
Shut up.
I believe she's passed away.
Nat Cole?
Yeah.
Natalie Cole?
Nobody told me.
Nobody had it. No.
Let's double check. Dead or alive?
No way.
Natalie Cole passed was away. An American singer, songwriter, and actress.
Is or was. Wikipedia. Is or was.
She was only 65.
That's a game you got to play. Is or was.
Congestive heart failure at 65.
Wow.
Oh, man.
They sang Unforgettable together. Not really, but they snooped it.
We know. Snooped it?
Yeah, they brought Snoop back in that hologram. It. Not Snoop, but Snoop did that song with Tupac.
They snooped it.
And they brought Tupac back in as a hologram.
Yeah, but they did Coachella. It before Snoop did it.
Yeah. They had done it.
They did
right?
It Coachella, right? I think Coachella.
Natalie Cole? I don't think so.
I don't know that Natalie Cole ever played Coachella.
I don't think so.
Pipe down, Francis. You got the play-by-play guy chirping at you.
Natalie Cole, UMass alum, by the way.
Shut up.
Not kidding.
The Pointer Sisters go there?
That I don't know, but I know Natalie Cole did.
Salt and
is that true?
It is true. That is true. Very true.
Really? That guy.
We should also play Hardy's song again today.
Yeah. Sometimes when it's really bad.
Are we
going to
play the other song today, too?
Which song?
Tom and Worcester.
Yes.
Are we going to play his song?
Does Jim have it?
I've got it.
Can you play it?
Of course I can
play
it.
When something's really bad, it has a chance to get really good. It's like the Felger Mass ticket giveaway. Like, they have this whole plan.
This was not Tom's best.
Which one do you want to do first?
We should play it.
It goes down as crazy.
We'll do mine first.
Play Hardy's first.
It's time for Sounds of Sunday.
It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday. It's Sounds of Sunday, it's Sounds of Sunday, it's Sounds of Sunday, Sounds of Sunday, Sounds Sunday, Sunday.
Yeah, not good. I said it wasn't good. I knew it was bad.
Called it.
But then
I'll tell you what, it's growing on me a little bit. It's catchy.
Tom and Worcester spent a long time coming up with this one.
I was lying in the grass.
How do you keep this for me today? That's one of my favorite songs originally. Not Tom and Worcester's, but
you know
still
why?
My sunshine.
Because he sent it to my Gmail, and you can't accept.
It was so good.
You have to be 4 miles away from the building now to get into your Gmail. You got to be, you know, well away from the property.
Company rule.
Speaking of property, that beat thing they're doing next door, they're dressing that pig up next door pretty nicely.
They're dressing the big up?
The pig up. That globe building. Remember you thought, boy, they can't do anything with this. It looks great over there.
Well, they've been working on it long enough.
Well, it's like, that's pretty fancy.
Anyway, thank you to
Tom. Great song, Tom.
Thank you to Tom and Worcester for sending that in. You stole my touchdown.
I think it's one of his best ones.
It's a little wordy.
It was a
you steal my touchdown? It works. It so works. I want to open the show with that.
I was in love with it.
I love that. That's his best work.
He's going to be driving home today. Steal my touchdown.
That's going to be playing for people in Gillette tomorrow.
Playlist. Was at least 3 feet deep. Would you steal my touchdown? Bill, you gotta listen to this song. This thing's a jam, man. Come on, Linda will love this one. I'm telling you.
Oh. On to Cincinnati.
You should have threw that in there. Huh. Okay.
All right, then. Very good. I think Tom and Worcester put out a little behind the music video on that too. He's got a nice little home setup there, little home studio.
He's a different cat. Hardy, honestly, what percentage of our audience?
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
What percentage saw Dirty Dancing?
Dirty Dancing, I think, a pretty high percentage.
I'd go 50 on that one.
Oh, I'm going to go higher than that. I would say a full 70% of the audience has seen
some weirdo millennials, man.
Dirty Dancing.
I don't know.
Going 70.
All right. Good one today. All right. Again, prayers to the Pete Frady's family. Champions fighting that cause. And God bless him and be thinking of them.
Absolutely. We will. And so, Brad Stevens tomorrow instead of Wednesday. My schedule changed this week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.